Greetings. Welcome to the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry program. I'm your host, Rick Rodriguez. Today is July 5th, 2026. The programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com. I have two sections, the Olive Tree and Lampstand Ministry programs. I also have the programs on This Present Truth. Again, the website, thispresenttruth.com. You can write me or contact me, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. You can, again, write me, Rick Rodriguez, Post Office Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. In Matthew 24, Christ, at the end of verse 8, verse 7 and 8 are talking about the period just prior to the tribulation, a seven-year period that we in Christianity refer to as the tribulation time, 7 years. The first half is tribulation. The second half, great tribulation. After the seven-year period is finished, there will be a time of wrath and then the final judgments on mankind before the millennial kingdom. I've been considering, contemplating how to best explain this end of birth pains in Matthew chapter 24, verse 8. Verse 9 is the first day of the tribulation, period. I've been alluding to Matthew 24 off and on for the last 6 months. I'm going to be a little more involved in Matthew 24. This chapter is the clearest explanation that Christ gives the disciples about the destruction of the temple, then the interlude of about 2,000 years to the time of Israel becoming a nation again, and then upon becoming a nation, what will occur as Israel begins to prepare the nation to receive Jewish people that are scattered all over the world. Israel has to become a center, once again, of protection for the Jewish people internationally because of the anti-Semitism that is one of the major signs of the time prior to the return of Christ. So, verse 7 says, nation will rise against nation, so there'll be conflicts internationally, kingdom against kingdom, internal civil wars. There's basically conflict in England, the European nations presently, because of the matter of the migrants moving into these countries has caused great strain. Not the governments, yes, but the people, the societies within the countries. It has become a real hardship. And because of it, there are civil problems within. You have unrest in these countries and in this country also. Luke refers to another problem that would occur in the countries in the end times. Ethnos, meaning ethnic. Ethnic against ethnic, ethnos against ethnos. Racial tensions. Then also there would be a conflict between those that have, those that don't have. So the age-old problem of the poor throughout the world, presently, so many nations are attempting to free themselves from outside interference. Emerging economies. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, earthquakes, in place after place. Internationally, there is and has been for 50 years talk of famine. There has been famine worldwide, but it is escalating presently due to war, due to growing seasons shortened by, lack of rain. And also there are going to be earthquakes in many different places. We just had a major earthquake in Venezuela. There are more people missing that can't be accounted for. We don't know what the final tally will be for not only the missing, but those that have died that are never going to, their bodies will never be recovered. Verse 8 of Matthew 24 says, Christ said, this is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. Meaning the tribulation has not yet occurred. It's the beginning. It's the early birth pains of the hardships and the sorrows that are coming. In the American Amplified, it says, intolerable anguish. Presently, societies are in a mental state where the conditions in their countries are almost to the point of being intolerant. They don't have the mental strength to cope with what is occurring in their countries. In this country, we are on the verge of a civil war. But it's going to be more than a civil war. For the Christian people that are listening, there is a war coming from the society and the government that is going to be directed and has been directed at the Christian churches, the true families of Christ in the seven lampstands. It won't be a civil war. It will be an all-out war against the world, the governments, and the children of Christ. All this is the beginning of the early birth pains of hardships that are intolerable, which bring intolerable anguish. Then verse 9, for the prophecy students and not, then they will hand you over to suffer affliction and tribulation. Then they will hand you over. So there is hardship coming to the churches of this country. America's unique. We have all of the seven lampstands in this country. In the Orthodox churches of Eastern Europe and Russia, you have a small percentage of maybe evangelical, small percentage of Catholic, small percentage of Lutheran, as an example. In the Western European countries, you'll have maybe a heavy population of Roman Catholic and Lutheran, Anglican, but it is not as condensed as these churches aren't as condensed as they are in the United States of America. The Catholic presence in this country is massive. Lutherans, massive. Almost all the major cities and medium-sized cities, pretty much, all have a Lutheran church, a Catholic church. Greek churches, maybe not as prevalent. Evangelical churches, prevalent. And in the United States, all of the lampstands in Revelation chapter 1 will be a target of the government and the society, even the apostate Christian churches, which are, some are truly born again, but then you have the other big assemblies where they are nominal and not true believers. In the Catholic Church, there are millions of nominal Catholics. Same with the Lutheran churches, same with the Presbyterian, some of the Episcopalian. They're born into those assemblies, and because they're born, children are born into these assemblies, they are considered to be Christian people, though maybe during their time in the assemblies they do not meet Christ genuinely. These that are nominal Christian will also be an enemy of the true born-again children of Christ. Some of the things that will be problematic is within evangelical Christianity, just within what we term evangelical Christianity. You have the different facets. Fundamental Christianity, which would be maybe Baptist, some of the very Bible-based assemblies, Pentecostal assemblies, which are many. It's a big block. Then you have charismatic, which are kind of in between. They do emphasize scripture with the giftings. We have the messianic movement. With the messianic movement, it is more recent. It really developed during the 60s, during the period of time, the period called the Jesus movement. Many Jewish people met the Lord during those years. So it's not as established. There were messianics prior to that, half a century back or more, or longer, but really didn't come into view like it did in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and up to the present. Many of the assemblies, members of the assemblies, don't really understand what the messianic movement is, so they, you might say, keep that at a distance. The messianic teachings, the feasts, many different things, their teachings, and their centering on the teachings of Moses. To some degree, they've had the tag of maybe being law keepers, covenant keepers, things of that nature. Well, in the evangelical churches as a whole, we definitely keep the commandments of Christ. So it's odd to consider messianics to be those that just follow Moses. Now, some do. There are, within the messianic community, there are those that are very, very centered on the teachings of Moses, to the point of, you could say, I do know some fellowships where if you don't keep the teachings of Moses, you are not considered to be a Christian, and they equate these teachings as actually being salvation, and that is not what Christ himself teaches. You must be born again. So there are some fellowships that have not really presented to the people in the assemblies that the born-again experience is where true Christianity begins. It's not keeping the teachings of Moses. Moses can't save. The teachings can't save. Messiah does save. Christ does save. It gets a little complicated. I've been in and out involved with messianic movements going back to the late 70s, early 80s. And so I've always been involved with, or have been, what's the word? I have been landing, taking off like a plane, touch and go. And but this is not what Christ had called me to do. As a minister, as a head of a ministry, my ministry is, as it has developed over the years, my ministry has been to all seven churches within evangelical Christianity. It has been to and with Pentecostal, Charismatic, Messianic, Fundamental, the fundamental groups. I've never been allowed to become a member of any of the fellowships. And I had a friend I visited with lately. Their question has always been, well, what church do you go to? And I had to be careful in how to respond, because it is such a big issue with Christians. If you're not actively involved in a fellowship, you're not considered to be in step with the teachings of the apostles. That is true to a degree, but as I stated years ago, the Lord pulled me out of Catholicism into evangelical Christianity to understand what I could not be a priest in the Catholic Church. It's impossible. The only church that has some latitude is evangelical Christianity. And in the late 80s, one day the Lord had a thought, which I knew was a speaking of the Lord later, that I would start my own ministry, not a church, not a fellowship, but a ministry. Ministry in the sense of I will assist ministries, pastors, but I would not be actually hindered by another man's work. Because each of the men that I have worked with over the years, they have a specific call to a specific place to be in the body of Christ. I work with them, but it's their field. I don't want to work in their field. God has given me a field to work, which you are presently understanding what it is I do. I can't be hindered. I can't be restricted. I visit with the through the years on radio and now on the website. I visit with the family of God, with the Christian people in all of the lampstands, about matters that are important in the present. Is America in the Bible? Are we at the end of the age? Where do the Catholics fit? Where do the Lutherans fit? Where do the Episcopalians fit? Where do the Greek Orthodox churches fit? Where does evangelical Christianity fit? We're all assemblies like seven brothers, Each assembly has a different personality. Each of these seven lampstands, they have a specific purpose. They have giftings, they have teachings, and they affect through the seven churches as a group, we affect the whole world. We're a family. Many in Europe do not accept evangelical Christianity. They would never, in the Lutheran churches, never accept Pentecostal teachings, Pentecostal work, giftings. Greek Orthodox churches, they won't definitely have anything to do with, to a great degree, Catholicism or Lutheranism or evangelical Christianity, Messianic teachings. So the Lord God has everything covered. The lampstands are the way in which God intended to reach the world. What the Catholics can't, where they're short, Lutherans may pick up, or Greek churches may pick up, or the evangelical churches will pick up. So in other words, where there's a lack, there'll be one of the other members in the family to pick up that lack, that need. Within the Catholic Church, they don't have giftings in the sense of healing. So you have many. There was an elderly lady, a ministry that I knew of, went to Rome, and there was the pastor of the fellowship, took a young man that had the gift of healing. They went into one of the cathedrals. There was a woman, elderly. She was crippled, her hunched over, and the pastor asked the young, basically gave directions to the young man to go pray for this woman because he had the gift of healing. God wanted her to be healed so she could stand up straight again. The young man went over, prayed for her. Immediately, she was healed. The Catholic Church, they are not known for having giftings of healing in the Catholic Church. There have been some Catholics who met the Lord when they were young as Catholics, and they were born again. They spent 3, 4, 5 years in the evangelical churches, but eventually the structure they were used to when they were children wasn't enough. And so they returned to Catholicism, but as born-again people. And in Catholicism, they do have a quality that is deeper than many of the nominal Catholics. And so in Catholicism, they like the structure, and that is where eventually they return to minister. I couldn't do that because they wouldn't allow me to present things that I present to this audience. The Catholic Church is in the Bible. In chapter 2 of Revelation, it is the church in Thyatira. So for the Catholic people listening, if you want to know which assembly, which lampstand you're a member of, you would go to the book, the Revelation chapter 2, and read about Thyatira. If you're a Lutheran, you'd go to chapter 3 of Revelation and read about the church in Sardis. That is a Lutheran church. If you want to find out the church in Philadelphia, that would be the churches that would come out of the pilgrims of Europe, England, in that area, that jumped the ocean to come to the United States. That would be the churches of Philadelphia. The great blessing of those churches given to them was the scripture opened. They had the deepest understanding of the Bible up to early 1800s, late 1700s, early 1800s, and the scriptures were, God blessed them with an understanding of the deep things of the Bible. Then evangelical Christianity, we began with the move of all these settlers that were Christians that came to this country, pilgrims, these individuals that started the early colonies. This is the beginning of evangelical Christianity. I've talked about this many times. I'll rehearse it again. There's only one land with Laodicea. This is one of the... Man, let me think about this. Okay. The seven lampstands, all of them exist at the end of the world or at the time before Christ returns simultaneously. They do not, as many teachers have stated, they just end clear back in history, 1,000 years ago, 1,500 years ago. No. Each of these churches, they go through a period of time to the present. You had initially the Church of Ephesus up to the time of what they term early church fathers, because the doctrines were still being established in the region into Asia. Then, right after that, Ephesus, you might say, is still present, but then you have Smyrna, the next group, the birth of Smyrna, just like with children. The first of the seven, Ephesus. Then you have the second born is Smyrna. It was the persecuted church. It was the time when the great persecution occurred. Then the third child born right at the end of that persecution was and in the area of Greece was you would have Pergamos. Now, Pergamos being the third son, we recognize today as the Greek churches. Pergamum or Pergamos was the Greek churches. Then, the next child, the next son to be born, the fourth of the brothers, Thyatira, around just prior to the 5th century or about 450, 500 A.D., the church in Rome is established. What happened is, out of the Greek churches, you had a break, and you had a new, to the west, further toward Rome, you had another doctrinal difference, and you had the Catholic Church, Thyatira, now in existence. Then we have a 1,000-year gap, where these first four basically are still in existence. Then, about the time of Martin Luther, what was that? Late 1400s, early 1500s. Then you have the fifth child, Smyrna. Sardis. Out of Catholicism would come Sardis. And that would be the Lutheran churches through Martin Luther. Then the next, because of the persecution that had been occurring from Rome and to some degree the Lutheran churches, the Lutheran teachings, which did, it was justification by faith, then you would have a group there in that area in the region in Europe which would take the teachings of Martin Luther to a much deeper level. It wouldn't just be justification by faith, not that only, but then after that you would have justification, you'd have sanctification, and then eventually you'd have glorification, a much deeper experience in the much deeper teachings in the experiences of the children of Christ. So with Philadelphia, eventually, soon after, these three, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, would all be born in a grouping, just like the initial four. Within 500 years, you had Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, and you had Thyatira. Then you'd have a grouping of the final three, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, within about a 300-year period, if I'm correct. 300 years. So you'd have the first four, 1,000-year gap, then the final three. The final three out of the churches of Philadelphia, because these first six brothers, they were established mainly in Europe, Eastern Europe, down to the Mediterranean, toward Israel. These had they had a commonality to them. They weren't real dynamic. They were structured on either, they were structured, they had set laws, except for Philadelphia. Philadelphia was much more lenient, not lenient, but flexible. But the most flexible would be evangelical Christianity. And I'm getting back to Matthew chapter 24:7. All seven churches have to be in place at the beginning of the tribulation, not only internationally, but in the United States of America specifically. So going back, then you have the last brother, the young brother, who would be a dynamic brother of the seven. He would not be able to flourish with all of the background of the prior six families, six brothers. And the seventh brother, God was very careful in where he placed the seventh child, in a distant country across an ocean. And evangelical Christianity was the land of the United States of America is the land of evangelical Christianity. I'm probably going to spend a couple of programs to explain this matter. Evangelical Christianity would be smothered living on the European continent with these other six brothers. We would be smothered. We would not be what God intended us to be, dynamic in every way. At the same time, I'm going from past programs to kind of bring everything clearly, bring it to you in as clear a fashion as I can. We are unique. America was created, came into existence for the evangelical churches, not for the Catholics, the Lutherans, not for Sardis, Thyatira, Smyrna, Philadelphia, or Ephesus. America was the land of the seventh church, the seventh lampstand, specifically right now in spiritual principles. The United States of America is the land of the seventh church, Laodicea. The other six families jumped the ocean to come and establish themselves here. But Catholicism was never intended to be dominant over the seventh brother. Neither Lutheranism, the Greek churches, none of them. They were never to be the dominant religion, the dominant spiritual authority. So the Catholic Church, Lutheran churches, Greek churches, even suffering churches, the churches in Ephesus, which are the men that study the basic initial teachings of the apostles, they are here. This is what you could refer to, the spirit of the church fathers has come to the United States also. Also in this country, you do have, to some degree, you have the church in Smyrna, the suffering churches, the churches that are being persecuted, because many Christians are being persecuted by one of the other family members. Then you have, again, the Catholic churches, though they're big, they are not more dominant. They are dominant in the sense of membership, and what Catholicism has always done is they began to immediately set up their cathedrals throughout all the cities of the nation. That still does not give them the ultimate spiritual authority in the United States. The spiritual authority is given to the seventh church, seventh lampstand, who has a spiritual dynamic that Catholicism, the Lutheran churches, Greek churches, the churches in Philadelphia, the men who are in the camp of the Ephesians, and those that are suffering, we have a dynamic none of the other families have. And this is one of the signs of the time of the end, is that the seventh lampstand would anchor itself in the United States. And this lampstand would be the beneficiary, I think that would be the way to put it, of a constitution. The constitution of this country was for the seventh lampstand specifically. It is for the evangelical churches specifically, and each segment of the evangelical Christianity. The previous six, they get to be blessed because of what was given to us by God. They can live on our land, but we cannot really be free to function perfectly in the lands of the European brothers or the Far East Asian brothers in Turkey, down to the Mediterranean, into Israel, and even overseas in China. The Constitution is in the Bible. It was in a land called America, Babylon the Great, which was to be the land of the seventh lampstand. I'm emphasizing this over and over because this is the way it is. I don't care how big the Catholic Church is in influence in this country. It is not the spiritual authority in the United States of America, nor the Lutheran churches, nor the Greek churches, nor those that carry the spirit of Philadelphia, or those that are suffering in this country, or those, again, who are like the early church fathers, who are maintaining the deep principles of the original teachings of the Christ and the apostles. The main authority, the authority of the land, as far as the lampstands are concerned, is the Laodicean Church. The Laodicean Church is, the Laodicean Church is evangelical Christianity. Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches, fundamental churches, the fundamental churches, the messianic churches. The messianics are specifically geared toward the teachings of the of Christ to the Jewish people, and it is the messianics who really are commissioned to take the gospel to Israel. The Jewish people will not listen to Gentiles. The Jewish people have a blindness on them, on their minds, and that is put there by God. They will accept, to some degree, the insight of their Jewish family concerning God, Messiah, the Holy Spirit. They won't listen to the Gentile people. This is why after the Jesus movement of the 60s and 70s, late in the mid-70s, early 70s, many of the Jewish believers began to preach the gospel to the Jewish families, because the families, though they would basically excommunicate them, they're still relative. They're relatives. They're still, by blood, they're still related. Eventually, the Jewish people were able to begin to communicate to their brothers or sisters, their families, their aunts or uncles, and eventually there were ministries that began to take the Messiah, the Ark of the Covenant. Christ is the Ark of the Covenant. They began to take the Ark of the Covenant back to the Middle East, to Israel. And in Israel right now, these believers are heavily disdained, hated, attacked, persecuted. But that is like in the early church. Christ sent out initially the disciples to go to the cities of Israel. Again, Christ is going to visit the cities of Israel through the Jewish people, through the messianic believers that get saved, that are truly Jewish. Many messianics are not Jewish. They love the teachings of the feasts, which are very important, and other things, but they're not truly Jews. They can be messianic in name, but they are not Jew or Jews or of the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the individuals that God will give, the true Jewish people, God will give the fire, the fervency, the power, the authority, the protection to once again return to that land that is under heavy attack presently, and be there to present Messiah to the Jewish people that are there. And not only them, to the Arabs, to whosoever will. Now I'm coming back to Matthew chapter 7. I'm sorry, 24, verse 7. Before the tribulation begins, these seven lampstands will finally get their bearings as to who they are in the Bible. This is what my ministry is, to help these seven lampstands to see who they are in their relationship with one another and how they have been positioned by God for His plan at this time. Within all of these seven churches in the United States, there are those that are nominal believers. In Catholicism, many of these, even in the evangelical churches, there are many in these assemblies that are not truly born again. They are nominal in name only, in each of the seven. But in each of the seven, there are those that are overcomers. And in America, in all of these seven assemblies, there are overcomers in each of these lampstands. And once the members of these lampstands are clear on what God has positioned them to be and positioned them to do, they will become great lampstands. Right now, Catholicism is not too great. But within Catholicism, there are those individuals that are, you can call them laity. They can't be priests. They can't be part of the clergy. But they can be part of the group that has been taught, that has the experiences of the Lord, that are, what is the word they use? They are part of the Catholics have a term. Yes, I remember. They are, like with each of the seven churches, they are a part of the sacred assembly. Within the Catholic Church, Lutheran Church, Greek churches, all of these assemblies, are the overcomers. They are the sacred assembly. They are those who are faithful to Christ in the place where they have been positioned. Some Catholics will never leave the Catholic Church. They are not called to leave. Me, personally, I was called out of Catholicism to begin my own ministry to minister the insights that God has given me to present to all of the seven churches. This has been a progressive thing. God has walked me step by step by step and furthered my understanding to make things more clear for the time that we're in, because there's a tribulation coming. And all of the lampstands in this country, I'm not talking about the Catholic Church in Europe, in Rome, throughout all of Italy. I'm not talking about the Lutherans in Germany and those that are affected in some of the other nations. I'm not talking about the Greek churches in Romania or the Romanian Greek Church or the Ukrainian Greek Church or the Russian Greek Church. I'm not talking about them. These are outside of the land of the coming beast. And the beast is going to go to war with each of these lampstands in this country. This is one of the insights that the Lord has given me in my ministry to present to, and I don't know how, I think through programs. There are Catholics who listen to my programs. But I'm just saying that here in the next year, this is 2026, July. In the next year, there is going to be a better understanding of the Laodicean Church a church that is evangelical Christianity. We have need of nothing. We are rich. I'm going to read what it says to you. Evangelical Christianity in America. This is the land that God gave us, the whole land. From the Canada border, Canadian border, to the Mexican border, the Pacific, to the Atlantic. Evangelical Christians, we are the spiritual authority in the United States of America. The other brothers that have come here, they do have a place. It's in the Bible. They do have a place in this country. What gives them that place and what has helped them immensely is the Constitution of the United States of America. It has blessed them. They have a place because there are people in this country that want structure. They want to kneel, sit, stand. They want to go to confession. With the Lutherans, they want justification by faith. There's a place for everyone, but the evangelical churches, the Laodicean churches, this country was specifically set aside and hidden for the Seventh Assembly. This Laodicean church, I have to repeat this to get this into your thinking. America was put here for evangelical Christianity. Not for the Catholics, Lutherans, not for these other churches. They do not have the spiritual authority in this country that we have. They do not have the power, the authority. They do not have the giftings. They do not have the dynamics that we have. As godly as they may be, as holy and righteous as they may be, still, they were not given a spiritual authority to rule over this land. But because they are here, they are all going to be persecuted. In each of these assemblies, there are overcomers. One thing about overcomers, regardless of what is happening within their church or their lampstand, they will overcome the corruption that chapter 2 and 3 in Revelation make very evident. There is corruption within the Catholic Church, the Lutheran Church, the Church in Pergamos, the Greek churches, in the Philadelphian Church, not so much, but in the Lutheran Church again, and even in evangelical Christianity, the Church of the Laodiceans, there is something that we have to fight in each of these places where basically we have been called to. I was initially called. I still benefit greatly from my time as being a Catholic. I benefit greatly from that. But I am restricted, hindered, and made like a flat tire. I have no purpose, no use in Catholicism. I am completely neutralized. But in evangelical Christianity, to where God called me, now this is where my strength is. This is where where I become dynamic from what was not undynamic to, you might say, dynamic. I'll use that word. Now, evangelicals, go to Revelation chapter 3. Go to verse 14. This is us. This is speaking about the great assembly in the United States of America. To the angel, to this messenger of the assembly or the family in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen. We are the family that have learned to say amen to the Lord as he leads us through our lives. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord. The trusty and faithful and true witness, the origin and beginning and author of God's creation. This is the other tell right here. We evangelical churches have been the family that has looked into creation and have brought the matter of God and his work in creation to the world. This is our dynamic. We have been the church that has studied creation more than any other of the family members, of the brothers. I just say brothers because it's simple, simple. The author of God's creation. I know your works and what you are doing, and you are neither cold or hot. I have done many programs on apostasy, not to the Catholics, not to the Lutherans, to evangelical Christianity beginning after the election of Jimmy Carter. The origin and beginning, you are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. I have watched from the time I became a young believer and from the time that Christ took me to be churched in 1974. I had a churching period of time. I had my basic churching experience and teachings from 74 to the summer of 76. From 76 till late 78, this was my advanced training in the things of God in the assembly. Then in 79, my wife and I were forced to move to out of state because of financial hardship. It was a winter time. I've always worked construction, and we just had our first child. It was a very difficult time financially, so we were forced to move west. And it was at that point that the Lord called me out of the churching experience where I had to attend every week. That wasn't his plan for me. He took me out, forced me to live in a wasteland with Western Wyoming. There's drugs, there's booze, and there's prostitutes. And work, plenty of work. The Lord took me out of this area, away from my churching experience, so that I could begin to use my spiritual wings to fly, so that I could eventually have the experiences needed to help God's children to realize and recognize where they are in their walk, how to get out of lukewarm experience and begin to also fly. Well, I'm going to begin in the next program with Revelation chapter 3 again, verse 14, to continue with we are in danger. We Laodiceans are in danger, but I have to stop. But the programs are archived on thispresenttruth.com, and then you go to the Olive Tree and Lampstand section. Rick Rodriguez, P.O. Box 872, Longmont, Colorado, 80502. If I bless you, if I help you to grow, then possibly assist me to further my cause with God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just God bless you.